all of a sudden, Thursday Night Football, 2 weeks in, doesn't seem to be as booty as it has been for the first decade of it. But to talk about Thursday Night Football, to talk the latest on the Browns, and yes, the Deshaun situation, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome on our usual Thursday at 5:20 guest, the great Albert Breer, joins us as always. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
So it's 2 weeks. We're 2-for-2 with great matchups on Thursday Night Football. Is it just 2 weeks, or is this a sign that maybe Thursday Night Football might be open to good football from now on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of, like, the evolution of the broadcast contracts, honestly. Like, and it's just everybody's got to get a bite of the apple. I think the Monday night schedule is better, you know, and because the deals are more even in price. And if you look at how much the different networks paid for them, it's just sort of set up a different situation where they've got – there's less of a caste system, I'd say, when it comes to, like, how the games are portioned out. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how all of it plays out. But this is an awfully big one tonight for sure.
Albert, what stands out to you the most about week one, and how much stock do you put into what you see in the NFL in week one?
Not a ton. I mean, I just think it's like there's so many unscouted looks and so many teams that have new coordinators and so many new people in new places, and you don't know how that's going to affect anything. I mean, you know, like there are some teams, like I would take like New England, for example, and like the Bengals are coming in and they've been dealing with injuries and holdouts during training camp. And, you know, they're a team that can look at it and say, well, we can use the first month to find our stride. And, you know, you got a Patriots team in week one that's expected to be at the bottom of the league. And they come in with the approach that, like, we need to prove ourselves and we need to sort of put a stamp on Gerard Mayo's program here, you know? So those are different approaches. Like San Francisco, how they handled Christian McCaffrey. Like, I think if that had been the NFC Championship game on Monday night, Christian McCaffrey's playing, he doesn't wind up playing. Then there's the dynamic of them going up against Robert Saleh and, you know, a coaching staff that they're really familiar with. So they're still able to run the ball, even without McCaffrey. And there's all of these different dynamics that I think are unique to week one. And, you know, I think after like 3 or 4 weeks, that starts to settle and we start to have, I'd say like around October, a better idea of who's who.
Albert, how much should week one inform our thoughts, given how disastrous it was for the Browns over the next little bit and maybe for this season?
Yeah, it's just hard because you don't have your tackles, right? You don't have Nick Chubb. I mean, you have Deshaun in a new offense. You got a new coordinator. Would you have wanted the defense to play better? Sure. But they played pretty good in the second half, right? Like, and I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's a winning effort by the defense, but, you know, I think you saw signs of them being the defense they were a year ago. So you can look at it a couple ways. You know, you can look at it and say, like, yeah, there are warning signs here. Deshaun didn't play well. You know, they didn't run the ball as well as they did when Bill Callahan was around. The defense didn't put together quite as complete an effort, but the flip side of it is there's like a decent reason for every one of those things, you know? So I think that's what's, again, complicated about week one. And, you know, the Cowboys obviously came out like a house of fire and, you know, having to go against a first-year defensive coordinator with the experience of Mike Zimmer, you know, is a challenge for them on offense, and not knowing exactly what they're going to do with Micah Parsons, that's a challenge for them on offense. And, you know, I just think, again, like there's so many moving parts. I'm always hesitant to draw sweeping conclusions over what happens in week one. Although I will say this, one thing that was interesting that I wound up looking up, I think this is right. I think the record of the playoff teams last year in week one was 10-4, and the four losses all came to other playoff teams. So that was sort of an interesting one.
Albert, more trouble for Deshaun Watson off the field. Tony Busby, who is representing the latest accuser, said today that the accuser will meet with the NFL in a couple of weeks and has pertinent video evidence to back up these allegations. Is it too soon to kind of gauge whether a suspension could come for Deshaun? What's your view of this whole situation?
I think a lot of it like boils down to disclosure. You know, what did the team know? What did the league know? And is this an old story or a new story for them? And then, you know, I think beyond that, like, okay, like, so this is a civil case. Does it become a criminal case? The one thing we've learned is the league doesn't like to jump in front of the legal process, right? So are we waiting for the legal process to play out, or because he's a repeat offender, would the commissioner's exempt list be in play? There are a ton of questions, and we really don't, honestly, we don't know like the credibility of this yet. Like, so it could be nothing. It could be huge, you know? So, it's just hard to speak with, you know, in absolutes when it comes to this one because of the nature of it, because we don't know enough, you know, about what the Browns knew. We don't know enough about what the league knew. And, until we do, I don't know that we're going to have like a great picture of the way this will look, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks down the line.
If it got to a point, Albert, where the Browns wanted out of the whole Deshaun Watson situation, how difficult would that be for them? And what do you think the most logical exit strategy would be?
It'd be really difficult. I think the way out would be if this was something he didn't disclose, right? And it would have to be something they had no knowledge of and that he hid from them. And even then it's hard, you know? I don't know. I know I've heard all the conspiracy theories and everything else about the Browns, you know, all that stuff that you see on Twitter that's dumb. I would say, like, if I was a Browns fan, I wouldn't count on them getting out of the contract on this one, you know? Now, like, would they be thinking about this sort of thing hard if he has another bad year, if the contract was a conventional contract and he was out of his guaranteed money? Sure. The uniqueness of this contract, and what's so unique about the contract versus other ones is how deep into the deal it's guaranteed. And this is actually, you know, we're getting closer to the part of the contract where you, if he doesn't play well, pay the price for that.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I know you've kind of hinted around this twice, but I just wanted to ask a question directly. If yep. Deshaun is suspended again, would this be it for him?
I mean, it'd be hard. I mean, it'd be hard for the league to have him back based on everything. Because again, I think it would have to be something he didn't disclose. And if it's something he didn't disclose, and at least the criminal charges, I don't know where you go from there. We've seen guys get checked second chances, but the second chances are a lot of times given to guys who are like the very best in the league, you know, like that are at the very top of their game. And, I think like you guys know this, like a pro athlete's second chances, you know, they're a function of his ability. And if he doesn't have great ability, I mean, the hidden thing on the Ray Rice thing, right? I know some people are like, well, that was it for him. It's like, you know, people forget that he averaged 3.3 yards a carry the year before. And Adrian Peterson got a second chance, like with something that wasn't the same, but, you know, I think was pretty bad right around the same time. And what was the difference? The difference was that Adrian Peterson was still playing like a first team all pro and Ray Rice wasn't, you know? So I think that's what would really make the situation thorny for Deshaun. And I know it sounds insensitive because the transgression should be the most important thing no matter what. But, you know, as far as him getting a second chance, you know, if he were suspended again, it makes it hard to see it because he's not playing well.
You mentioned his play on the field, you know, this past weekend against the Cowboys, one of the worst quarterback performances of the weekend. Do you think there is any scenario in play where the Browns would turn things over to Jameis Winston? Or do you see if all the legal stuff plays out in the favor of Deshaun, he gets this year no matter what?
Yeah, I think it'd be real. I think it'd have to get really, really bad, you know? And I don't know. Like, I haven't given up hope on it working for him this year, but like, you know, I think, you know, part of this is, you know, going to be people being real with him and his coach is being real with him and his coach is being tough on him. And, you know, I think it's going to come down to like him working the way that he worked when he was in Houston, you know? And, I think a lot of it's going to come down to his determination to fix this. Like, you know, you got a new offensive coordinator in there. You've got some new teammates. It's going to take work to get back to where he was. And, you know, I think a lot of that is on him. So, you know, it's just hard for me to see them moving away from him at any point this year, unless it got really, really, really bad. And he repeated the performance he had on Sunday over and over and over again. And again, like, you know, eventually he's going to have Chubb back. Like, eventually he'll have the tackles back. And, you know, the circumstances around him will be a lot different.
Albert, we appreciate you making time for us. I know you got a busy day out there in Miami, so we appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy Thursday night football, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's so wild that we have to phrase it this way.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if Deshaun is suspended again, is it it for him? The answer should be yes. Right? Whether the time frame, if the NFL decrees this a different thing, and certainly there were a myriad of factors that they would, the answer should be yes. And that the answer isn't yes proves that the NFL still has a long way to go on stuff like this. And honestly, even the idea of we're going to go at our own pace, whether that has any relation to due process or not, is another sign that the NFL has a long way to go as they handle these things, when the ultimate out for judgment and for everybody is the commissioner's exempt list, where guys still get paid while being on that list. It is just wild to me that the NFL has had this many scandals, and it's still the team pointing to the league, mm-hmm. and then the league going, yeah, we'll get around to it.
The other thing that comes into play too, Nick, is that if the league decides that Deshaun is still going to be eligible to play in some capacity, there are still enough desperate teams out there that could try and convince themselves that their situation would be different and better for Deshaun.
Yeah.
And because he's a quarterback, and because quarterback play is so important, there are, for lack of a better term, really, really dumb, desperate franchises, the same way that the Browns were very, very desperate at the time that they made the decision.
Borderline reckless.
That would probably give him another chance. Just to see if he could recapture the magic.
But see, I think that's where what'll be interesting to see is, again, if there is another suspension,
mm-hmm.
whether that's a Browns decision or an NFL decision. And I don't know there's a definitive answer, but I tend to kind of side with Albert that it's going to be really, really tough. Even again, if this is not a new instance in terms of it happened in October of 2020, to have, because the key thing there is the idea of disclosure. Mm-hmm. And so there's a part of me, and this is where actually Tony Busby, the lawyer for the accuser, and I agree, I don't have a lot of hope for the NFL's process on this. But the difference for me is, you know, it bugs me, and it kind of bums me out when I hear that if Deshaun settled this very hastily before the NFL meets with Tony Busby in 2 weeks' time,
mm-hmm.
that the NFL would consider this matter closed, or that that's a very likely thing, not that it's a definitive thing. And the reason why it bugs me is then really all you'd be suspending for Deshaun the next time, if this were to go past that and become a suspendable thing, is extra bad optics, mm-hmm. extra time of bad optics. And that's so cynical.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who understands how corporate America works, and I get that it's money and optics and nothing, people don't matter. I get that. But the idea that the only thing that might truly make this more suspendable from the league side of things is, you made us look bad for 5 weeks instead of 2 weeks, is just, I mean, that is a staggering level of who in the bleep do you think you are?
And they would say, we think we're the Shield.
We think we're worth $25 billion a year.
Protect the Shield, man.
But so I've said, because I don't think I said in the beginning, the first segment, that I think if he is suspended again, if it rises to that level, even if I think the NFL's handling of all this stuff is a bit bupkis, and that it should be curtains, at least in Cleveland, where do you fall on this?
Yeah, it's got to be curtains in Cleveland. They just can't keep making excuses for this guy, and they can't keep kicking the can down the road, and they can't keep allowing this kind of stuff to happen with the supposed face of the franchise. This isn't the backup cornerback, right? This isn't the linebacker, the starting middle linebacker. This is the starting quarterback for the team. You can't allow this to happen in your organization. You just can't. So he would have to be done here in Cleveland. And if he's not, I don't understand the stance or how Jimmy Haslam or Andrew Berry or whoever it would be that would make the decision. I don't know. I don't know how they would defend it.
And I think, well, there's one way.
What's the way?
If he starts playing good football again.
Oh, you.
Listen, I just went down one cynical rabbit hole, but it's the truth. Like, that's why the next couple games mean so much for Deshaun, is because that could be the difference on a lot of different levels.
At some point, as an organization, as a business, the guy who is representing your franchise, who he is and what he does and how he carries himself and all that other stuff, it has got to mean something. It's got to mean something beyond 300 yards passing.
It should. But there we go, using that word should again. I do think, like, and this is the Browns fans, because I think some Browns fans, Chris, just keep going to, well, it's a new violation. Yeah, void the contract, yes, moving on. Right. And it's like,
get us out of here.
As of right now, that's magical thinking. That could become a reality. But how big of a could is that? I'll be honest with you. I don't think anyone knows. I'm sure the Browns have a better idea than most. I'm sure the league has given them insight into that if they have reached out to the league.
Mm-hmm.
But even the Browns, I don't think to this point, would have a real level of confidence that that could become more than just a could.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. And I don't actually know. I don't know that the league would give them a whole bunch of information or clarity.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the idea that the league is going to be...
helpful?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
nice.
Well, honestly, you know, I don't know. That was something else I was thinking about. It's interesting you're pointing to this, because I don't know if other owners have a say in this. Meaning, like, I don't think other owners can veto them voiding a contract. But... in addition to voiding the contract, you would need a cap charge to offset. And that is where I would wonder if the other owners would like to help Jimmy Haslam not...
Oh, you wonder that, huh?
I do wonder that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'd know the answer to that.
Well, business is business, by the way.
That's true.
Because we don't know what other things Jimmy is in, that Jimmy could be a disruptor as well. I'm not trying to act like he's going full Dan Snyder. I'm just saying, like, I think on face value, you could go,
I got pictures.
Ah, Dan Snyder, you lying son of a. But no, I mean, I do think, like, on face value, I'd be very surprised if the NFL owners were like, think about the Haslams here, okay? They made a mistake. We've all made mistakes. At the same point, Haslams do have a lot of money. I'm going to say the Haslams have some pull because of that money in league circles. So while some owners might still be upset about it, I wonder what other strings there are behind the scenes.
Sounds like an episode of The Blacklist at this point. What kind of shady business is going on behind the scenes?
So,
but when you're talking about billionaires, you're talking about, you know, cover-up money and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and
totally get it.
I mean, how did L.A. get a team? Was Jerry Jones, I mean, literally, that. Okay, I'm not trying to go full, you know, tinfoil hat here. They conspired to steal a team from a healthy, viable NFL market because Stan Kroenke wanted it and Jerry Jones wanted it. And I know the NFL wanted it, but I think the NFL was super skeptical. But if Jerry Jones wants it, the NFL wants it. So I just think it's like at some point, if there ever becomes a way where all cards are on the table, like if we ever get to a point where like time is some sort of matrix or rubric that you can view, man, it's going to be interesting to go through those files with NFL owners and just see, and not just now, for decades.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So it's not just the Haslams, I guess, is the long-winded way of saying that.
It's definitely not, but you do remember just how angry the owners were at the structure of the deal for Deshaun Watson.
And still angry.
Still.
There's a reason why Jerry guaranteed all but $9 million.
Of course.
Like,
petty wars.
He guaranteed as much of the Dak contract extension as he possibly could without... it's as if the $9 million was to say, see, Haslams, this is how you do it. Which is wild. $9 million when you've guaranteed 231 of it, not much of a rebate.
Doesn't really feel like it, no.
Not much of a, if you have to eat any years on there, you are still massively up a creek without a paddle. But it's the principle. It is the principle of
and the
it.
Optics.
The optics, yeah. Which is funny, because what always gets lost in this contract or this conversation is Minnesota also was the first team to fully guarantee a quarterback's contract for Kirk Cousins in 2018. And nobody says it. We only say, like, because it was only $90 million guaranteed.
It wasn't 230. That's a big difference.
Well, it's 4 years later, 3 years later.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah. Inflation.
That's a real thing.
Yes. The market is different. You're right about that.